Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 28th of August, and I'm recording at 10 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, a weekday for stock markets here, and it's due to two factors. The first is the short-term overbought condition that I've been mentioning since I returned from holiday on Tuesday in these audios. And the other is the clear evidence of further incursions by Russian troops across the Ukraine border, providing supplies, including sophisticated weapons for the rebels, and also participating to some extent in the military skirmishes, to put it politely, which are occurring there. That was certainly the catalyst here, which triggered today's reaction in stock markets. Now, starting with the Asia-Pacific region, Japan lower by about 0.5%, the China markets down by a little bit more, although under 1%. And not much to the upside, although India gained another 0.25% on average here today. That's another new all-time high. And we also saw modest gains in the Asia-Pacific region by Malaysia and Indonesia. Now, in Europe, which is, of course, the front line in terms of these political concerns, political-military concerns, and that's where we saw the bigger selling pressure, led by Italy down over 2%, Spain, Germany down over, and also Sweden down over 1%, but they were all lower in here today. The Euro Stoxx 50 index down nearly 1%. UK down a third of a percent overall. And this is the problem here, that whenever we see further aggression coming from Putin's government, then these markets fall back quite sharply. And that's hardly surprising, given the fact that this is the last situation they wanted, but they didn't create it. Putin did. Might it be his Rubicon? Well, hopefully. Hopefully it is. But that will require resolve on the part of the Europeans for sure. And also the U.S. I think the U.S. is committed. And President Obama was talking today about taking additional measures here. We know it's not going to be troops, but they're certainly in a position to, the U.S. is certainly in a position to tighten some of the sanctions that we actually see. Elsewhere, the Wall Street markets, well, a little lower, about a quarter of a point on average. Canada similarly. Also Mexico, Brazil, which had an awfully good day yesterday, but is down just over 1% here today. What else is going on? In precious metals, we've had an interesting situation in the last couple of days. I've been describing these precious metal markets as oversold. Well, let's put it this way. The most oversold is silver, followed by gold, and then platinum. Palladium's actually doing quite well still, although it's ranging at present. But just to give you an idea, silver had rallied up this morning when the Russian news hit the headlines, rallied up to $19.875 at the high this morning, but is currently now only at $19.46. That's still a gain of 5.5 cents overall. Palladium is up today. Platinum is up $5, but it had been, that's half of the, only half, or less than half of the gains that we saw earlier this morning. And gold, just not doing badly here. That's, gold bullion is at 1289 and change. Now, overall, we've got ranging patterns here for gold, silver, and platinum. And as I've been saying, they are oversold, and therefore, I think they're in buying regions. But the point that I've emphasized, particularly yesterday, is that they have not yet really caught investors' imaginations, and they therefore remain a plaything for some of the very active funds and traders, including, I suspect, some of the electronic stuff. So we get these short, sharp moves in here from time to time, and a ranging pattern. I think there is a good case that could be made for gold as a worthy hedge, and ditto silver, and palladium in platinum, I should say, in one's portfolio, but probably not in excess of a 5% or so level. Now, elsewhere, the US dollar steady in here once again. That dollar index, which was down a little bit yesterday, but it's back up today, 82.489. Now, when we have global tensions, and we certainly do in the UK, Ukraine, Russia border, and all that conflict in the Middle East, that does help to firm the US currency, which has been at pretty cheap levels in recent years, as you're probably well aware. So I wouldn't be surprised to see that trend continue. And also, people know that we see the quantitative easing on its well, gradually being wound down. Additionally, so that's another factor. Now, government bond yields, they fell further. We're down into the low 2.3 region for the US 10-year. We've got the German bonds are under 1%, the unyield 10 years, and the Japanese well under 1% yields. Quantitative, I should say, easing is playing a big part in all that. You can see how investors are interpreting this. They're sort of saying, well, it's kind of a variation on don't fight the Fed. They're buying the bonds because they also see the Fed and other central banks buying the bonds, and they feel that they can stick around a little bit longer, and they've been right here. I'm surprised to see the extent to which these yields have declined overall, although I've just explained why that's actually happening. And then the US Treasuries are popular because they yield more than you see in Europe or in Japan. Now, point is, though, when does that actually start to change? And I think that we know that the QE isn't going to go on in perpetuity. People can, of course, take profits in these positions and sell them out. But this is the real bubble. I mean, people have worried about bubbles on in the Wall Street stock market, but the real bubble is in the bond markets. But as I've already mentioned, it is supported by the central banks and in a very big way. So that could go on a little bit longer. That's not a bad background for stock markets, incidentally, and because we certainly don't have rising interest rates to any extent in these Western economies, and therefore that's helping to keep inflationary expectations reasonably low. Now, going back to stock markets for a moment, one of the factors that nobody seems to be talking about, well, they're talking about it in as being a big flotation, but this Alibaba a float, which is coming up in the United States in the next couple of months, probably. I don't think the actual final date has been set for that, but I'll do a little bit more research on that. But it's worth mentioning at this stage because it's going to be a absolutely massive float, and the number of companies being floated on Wall Street is increasing, not dramatically. It's still less than the highs we saw last year, for example, when there was quite a sharp jump overall. But I'm just looking out for little stumbling blocks here, which can trigger reactions. And something like that big Alibaba float, that well, that just sucks a lot of money away from other positions. So you might want to bear that in mind. And anything else here of note? Well, crude oil prices a little bit higher in here today, but I've been describing them as somewhat oversold. That's also true for some of these grains and beans, although the beans are actually lower today. But wheat's about the steadiest of those staple grains, and up 9 and a quarter cents in here today. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.